Hi, welcome to Stoke Your Curiosity episode 5. I'm your host Michael Shvarazode, and today we'll be talking about my workflow. So the title of the episode is going to be Workflow for a Creative Swiss Army, and hope you enjoy it. So welcome back. I haven't uploaded in the last 3 weeks, I think, and barring with the different things that happen across the world, it has been a very testing times. But you know, you stay safe, you stay at home, and you figure out how to churn out your next podcast in a better way. And so today I'm going to be talking about how basically I've highlighted what are the different things that I do in my work. And normally I said in the title, I said that Creative Swiss Army, because I kind of tend to do different things at the same time. But the whole point of this episode is of this podcast is to chart my journey as a creative and how to improve myself in the different facets of work that I'm doing. So today I'm going to be talking about what my different workflows are in terms of my work as a designer, as a photographer, as a videographer, as a podcaster, web designer, and illustrator. I might not tend to do one thing over the other more. There are some things that I do more in my daily life, but these are the basic workflows of the softwares that I use and how I use them and why I chose to use a certain specific way of doing things. And I mean, it might help if you're a creative or if you know the software. So if you don't, it might help you understand how I work and what I could improve. And if you have any suggestions or any comments on that, you're welcome to do so. Now we're gonna delve into the different things that I do. So as I've explained before, I do design, photography, video, podcasting, web design, and illustration. I don't do all of the things every time. For example, nowadays I tend to do design and photography more, and now that I've started this podcast, there's also audio editing, but I used to do that before also on a regular basis, because I had a podcast / playlist kind of thing that I did for 6 years, so I'm fairly used to that. And I do some video work. I used to do a lot of video work back when I was in Ethiopia. Nowadays I work for a company. I don't have all my gear, but I'm working on towards doing more videos, so I'm going to be explaining what I do. So let's start from design. In design, I do a lot of work using Adobe Photoshop. So Adobe Photoshop, and for vector stuff I use Illustrator. The reason that I use these two are they are more mainstream, and I've been using them for the past I've been using Photoshop, actually, to tell you the truth. I've been using Photoshop as a Swiss Army solution to all my designs, and it took a while for me to understand that, you know, Photoshop has a certain use for it. It's flexible, that if you're comfortable with it, you can do different things. But if you're gonna be, how do you call it, not professional, but if you're gonna be more streamlined on your work, then you know you have to use the appropriate tools for the appropriate things. So nowadays what I use Photoshop is compositing. I use Photoshop for some extra effects or for some layouting things in terms of a single page. Normally I do layout work for magazines using its sister software, which is the InDesign, which is the appropriate tool to use when if you're trying to design layout pages. The way that the Adobe system is, it's interconnected, especially the latest version. So you can basically do some work on Photoshop and then port it to InDesign and Illustrator and vice versa. So if I'm doing work on my computer, I use Adobe Photoshop, Adobe Illustrator and InDesign to do a lot of the layouting, a lot of the design work that I do. Sometimes I also try to doodle or sketch, and if I'm using my tablet to do that, then I use the Illustrator version for the mobile device, and which is Adobe Illustrator Draw. Basically, I'm not using an iPad, so I'm using an Android version of the tablet. So for that, the best way to go about it is Adobe Draw. There are other softwares that I'm trying to experimenting with. One of them is Autodesk Sketch, but the whole idea is if I use Adobe software, it makes it easier to do my sketch on my tablet and then open it on my computer, because the Adobe CS system is integrated. So that's so what I do is, if I do some sketches, I use my tablet, do rough sketches, and then vectorize them, and use Illustrator to import them into either InDesign or Photoshop, depending on the stuff that I do. For example, I do some illustration work for my Redbubble shop, which is a shop where you do your designs and you can sell them in different apparel or in different things, from t-shirts to, you know, prints and photography prints and all that. Basically, what I use is, if I'm sketching, I'll use my tablet, and I'll do the designs on Adobe Draw and import that design into Photoshop or InDesign using my computer. So I have a workflow where I do the designs. If I'm doing logos or small icons, I can do it on Adobe Draw, because I can sketch it digitally and then import it into Adobe Photoshop or Adobe Illustrator to, you know, to finalize my final artwork. I find that this process is easier for me. There are different other, for example, there are different other open softwares or free open source softwares or free softwares that you can use as alternatives. But yeah, this so basically what I do is, if I'm going to do a basic layouts on A4 pages, because I've been doing it for a long time, I quickly use Photoshop because it's easier. So I do that if it's just one page. If I have to do like books or booklets or different other things, I use InDesign. I do some of the artwork or some of the designed elements, I may do them on Illustrator and Photoshop, but I import it into InDesign and design my layout there. It's one of the things that I have to get used to. InDesign is the appropriate thing to use if you're trying to do layout designs or books or different things, because that's basically it's what it's made for. It's like anything else, it's something that you have to build up for, and each of the softwares in the Adobe Creative Suite they're easier to use if you don't know anything, but at the same time they have incredible functionalities if you try to go deep dive. But the way that my career went, I had to quickly do mock-ups or quickly do work with the software that I'm used to, and Adobe system is allows you to quickly drum up something, because the user interface makes it easier for you. But if you want to go deep into what it can do and what, you know, the potential that the software has, then you can, there are a lot of things you could do from each of the softwares within the Adobe Creative Suite system. So I don't do that. What I do is I use what's necessary to quickly do the work that I need. And there are something, there are a lot of things that I don't know about each and every one of the softwares that I use, but at least if I can do what's necessary to complete my job, then that's enough for me. But if you want to deep dive, there are different softwares, different tutorials, and different books where you can actually deep dive into what each and every software does. But this is what I do for. So my design and illustration workflow is like this. Can talk about what my video and podcasting workflow is like. Normally, as I've explained before, I used to do a lot of video because I had my own production company and I had gear and stuff. So, but when I moved here, I had to restart everything from scratch. So for my video work, right now I'm delving into, if I'm doing work for the organization that I work for, that we have a DSLR. So I shoot everything on the DSLR, and I import it into Adobe Premiere. I use their encoder software, Adobe Media Encoder, if I need to do any encoding. But it's the setup that we have, it doesn't shoot 4K. So, you know, there's no need in terms of importing, ingesting importing the videos. There's no need to use different codecs. Maybe I'll do that when I export, but I'll still use the media encoder. But for the editing process, I use Adobe Premiere. For my personal projects, I'm trying to do more mobile videography, if you can say it like that. I use an iPhone and Google Pixel phones to shoot video, so short videos, and I did two short films and very for like competitions and stuff. But I'm planning to do more video work using my mobile setup, and the whole idea of that is trying to see how, you know, it's harder as it is trying to shoot video on a DSLR or on a big system, because there are different facets to the work, and it becomes more an added obstacle when you try to shoot using a mobile setup, a phone setup. But at the same time, it has its own advantages. So right now, because I'm restarting everything that I'm doing in terms of my career project and the different things, so I have a mobile setup, and for that, in terms of shooting raw video using my phone, there are two softwares that I use, and depends on how you use them, and when I need to use them, to make a choice of why I use one software over the other. If I want to get the highest quality possible from a phone to shooting video, what I use is what you need to use and what the industry standard is, it's Filmic Pro. Filmic Pro is a has been there for a long time. It's an app where it allows you to shoot raw videos with the higher bit rates, and it can give you and you can shoot flat profile, which basically allows you to push the capacity of your actual videos to emulate quote unquote professional videos, because it gives you more information, because the sensor on a mobile phone is so small. In order to get the professional quality footage from it, it needs a lot of work. It also needs a lot of work in terms of your setup and your lighting and your work, and you have to work harder at it, because it's not as easy as you would have it in a DSLR or professional cameras. So it's a good way to learn your to learn your film shooting techniques, because you have added obstacles. Even though nowadays the capacity of what smartphones have in terms of video, it's amazing, but at the same time there are a lot of limitations, bokeh being one of them, low light capacity being another, and so you have to do what's best with the tools that you have, and Filmic Pro allows you to at least get the most out of what your smartphone can get for you. And another app that I use for this is Moment Pro. Disclaimer, I'm not being paid to showcase these apps and softwares. These are softwares and apps that I use for my work. So, and if you like them, and I'm sure there are free alternatives, and these are, some of them are paid, some of them aren't paid apps. So take this as just my workflow or apps that I use to do my work for my mobile setup. So I use Moment Pro and Filmic Pro to shoot my videos, and they can give you 4K videos with higher bitrate, and I can use that to edit using my Adobe Premiere, which is my go-to editing app, because I have a Windows setup. If I've worked on Mac setup, and I also edited on Final Cut, and yeah, there are a lot of things that Final Cut, if you have an what do you call it? If you have a Mac, then Final Cut is a go-to software, because it comes with the setup, and it's very quick to edit with. But there are a lot of things that I'm used to in terms of Premiere Pro, and I tend to use that nowadays because I'm used to it, and there are a lot of good things about it, and it's not available for Windows system, so. Why not use Adobe Premiere to port across different devices, because it's already there. So for video and podcasting or audio editing, I've been dabbling into editing different audio sounds using different softwares, and nowadays I use the Audition, which is part of the Adobe Creative Suite's system. And Audition, I think there was an older version of it before it became part of the Adobe family, and I used to use that. I forgot the name. It's funny. Anyways, I edited different things using that, but for my previous radio shows and for my different things, what I use is Audition. It's very intuitive, and it's easy to do, easy to use. If you want the free alternatives, there are a bunch of them, but you know, they're quite complicated to use for my, because I'm used to a certain way of the UI and the different things. I'm used to the Audition system, so I tend to use that, and it hasn't failed me. And now, and the fact that nowadays I can use Audition to actually edit the sound that I would have for my videos, because it's a connected system, it's also that's why I'm staying with it. Yeah, so that's gonna be my video and podcasting workflow. We'll be back for the rest of the stuff that I do. For photography, I tend to take a lot of pictures. I used to take a lot of pictures before when I was back in Ethiopia, and I was sent out on different assignments. And nowadays, I'm more into phone photography. So before, my setup tended to be that I would take pictures and use Photoshop to, you know, do the different editing processes. And I use Photoshop as my go-to place to do edits. But nowadays, I tend to shoot raw. And if I'm shooting raw, normally what I would do is I would import it into Lightroom, which is another Adobe Creative Suite. So there is a, what do you call it? There is a trend that you'd see. I use a lot of the Adobe system. So I use the Lightroom and I import all my pictures and do quick preliminary edits. And then if there is more, which normally I tend not to find, but if there is more to be done, then I would import it into Photoshop and do additional edits. But for the sake of quick workaround and catalog and all those things, I use Lightroom. If I'm shooting from my for the place that I work at, is that we have a DSLR. I shoot raw pictures, import my pictures into Lightroom, catalog them, edit there, and then export different versions for the different platforms that we use them. So web versions, print versions, and all that. For my personal photography workflow, since I don't have a DSLR right now, what I'm trying to use is I use my phones. So the phones that I have are I use them specifically because at the time that I bought them, they have good capacity in terms of quality for a phone. So I use a Google Pixel 3 XL and an iPhone 11 Pro. So my mobile photography workflow is I take pictures. If I'm taking pictures on the Pixel 3 XL, I use Moment, Hypocam, Fimo, Spectre, Halid to do the shooting. So all these are different softwares. So if I'm using the Pixel 3 XL, I would use Moment, Hypocam, and Fimo. And I use Moment because it allows me to get raw photos. But the native app for the Google 3 XL also allows me to capture raw photos, so that's fine. And Hypocam and Fimo are two softwares that take black and white. The Hypocam takes black and white photos, which is something that I'm getting drawn into, and I'll be preparing a show about it in the coming weeks about my photography obsession, that is. And Fimo is another very quirky small software that tries to emulate analog film looks and, you know, feels into the photography. So I also tend to use that for iPhones. When I shoot on my iPhone, I use the Halid software, which I recently discovered, and it's kind of a great software if you want to shoot raw. And I use Spectre, which is another nifty app that allows you to take long exposure photos quickly. And in addition to that, what do you call it? I also use Moment because Moment has different capacities. The Moment Pro app, so I use it for video and photo also. So it also has some interesting long exposure capacities, or where you can shoot, you know, things like cool stuff with light trails and time lapses. And I, yeah, And they also have time lapses also. It's with the latest update. In terms of editing my photography workflow for my mobile, what I use is I import my pictures into the Lightroom mobile setup. I do initial exposure and initial corrections, and then I import them into Darkroom to do additional corrections and create, like, if I wanted to do, if I'm gonna post some things on my social media, like, so I use them to create borders and stuff. I'm trying to work more on my photography in terms of the tone and feel. I'm trying to understand more, so I use Visco, the Visco app, to I have a certain specific look that I'm trying to emulate. So if I'm shooting black and white, I have a certain specific look that I use, and if I'm shooting color, I use Visco and a specific filter, some tweaks to edit those the photos that I export from my darkroom. So I have, like, I take my photos, import them into Lightroom, do initial works on it, and then port it into Darkroom, do additional editing work, and then for a final touch I use Visco, and then export it into either the Visco network, my Visco profile, or my Instagram profile, or whatever that I try to use the photos from. So that's my, it's a little convoluted, and there is a reason that I use these softwares, and primarily for shooting, the bulk of them give me the capacity to shoot raw, and also with the Spectra and Moment Pro, they allow me to take long exposure photos, which normally you can take with the native app unless you have a specific phone. But if you can use the Moment Pro app and the Spectra to do longer exposure or different similar time lapses, kind of. So Spectra has long exposure, and Moment Pro has different things. So I use both of those to create my photographs. The Hypocam and Fimo apps are, I use them primarily because I'm trying to, I'm more drawn into analog looks and black and white looks, because I feel like they're more cleaner, or they're more, I feel like black and white photography has a way of expressing a certain scene without, you know, too many distractions. I use these apps to try to work on my photography skills. So next is for my web design and my for web design, what I use is I use Dreamweaver if I have to do a website from scratch, in terms of doing like a static website or bootstrap websites. I use different bootstrap systems from which I get online and edited accordingly on Dreamweaver, which has been my go-to software to edit and create websites. And if I have to do it online, in terms of the different CMS systems that we have, you can find normally I do CMS systems using WordPress, so I'm used to that system, even though my website is Squarespace, which allows me to quickly create my website and, you know, just forget about it, not stress over different things. But I like WordPress because it has a capacity to do different things, and it's a very powerful platform. So, and I do my editing, if I have to do it online on those systems, I do them, or otherwise I have locally hosted versions of the software, and then I upload them. But I use for everything that I do in web design, I use Dreamweaver. I'm also pushing myself to do some UX and user interface design using Adobe XD. I'm not that well versed on it. I feel like there are too many apps that I'm currently using, and but it's, I mean, if the needs come for it, and I'll use it, and I haven't used it as much because I haven't done as much website designs as I used to do in the previous years. But yeah, and I think that's about it. On a final note, I'm trying to organize this, the different projects that I have on my multiple workflows, and I'm trying to organize even partially what I'm doing for my next year, and you know, trying to be more organized in different things. And I've recently found out a software called Notion. Notion is a very interesting software, where, and it has a free version, and if you need more, then you can add, I think it's around $4 a month, I'm not sure, but you can test your, basically it's a software that you can plan your work on it, you can create shopping lists, you can do so many things. It's like an open system. So I used to use Trello, which is also a good system to do as a collaborating tool with the different teams, and also you can do your different projects. And I have a Trello board, but there are some things that it's capable of doing quite well, and there are other things it's not. And the creators from Notion, I think, had the same problem. So if you use Asana, Trello, and the different Google Docs and different things, and they try to incorporate the different good things that you can find there into Notion. So if you don't know it by now, go check it out. It has a free version, so you can check the free version. If you like it, you can try it. You can try the pro version for it, and there are some very interesting, and you can see the capacity. I just started using it. I don't know that well. I haven't used it that well yet, but you can go and check out YouTube tutorials from, and you can see how what the capacity and the power that it can hold underneath it. Thomas Frank, the guy who does a lot of productivity work, is using it, so you can check. Basically has a video on YouTube called "The Most Powerful Productivity App I Use," and it's very powerful. The software is very powerful, and it's as powerful as you want it to be, because it's open, so you can do whatever you want with it. Check his video on that, or you can check Keep Productive videos, which has different multiple tutorials on Notion, or you can also check a guy called Ali Abdal. He's a doctor in the UK, I think Oxford, I'm not sure. And that's the first time that I knew about the Notion app, and he has a very detailed and on point reasons why he uses Notion and how he uses it, and you can go and check that out. So I hope these are my different my multiple workflows in terms of the things that I use when I'm doing my work. If you have any suggestions or any apps that you think I should use for my different works, please let me know. And again, I apologize for my lateness in terms of the 2 weeks that I haven't been able to post my content. If you have any thoughts, comments on that you'd like to send me, please do send those comments in terms of your workflow, or share them with me in the different platforms that I'm sharing this podcast to. And please stay safe and take care of yourself, and I'll see you next week with my next podcast. Until then, hope you have a good Easter celebrations.